me how every service takes on its own personality or direction. I don't think it's an odd thing that God knows exactly what we need. Amen. Thank you, Brother Todd. Ladies, I appreciate the good singing this morning. I was thinking while they were singing that song about the wall of prayer, and I wrote down this little thought. When I need prayer most is when I feel I can't even pray. Amen. The song said, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me? Amen. I'm glad that I can always pray for myself, but I'm glad there's always somebody praying for me. Amen. And I think that went rather well. Brother Freddie just preached on prayer on Wednesday night. Thank you, brother, for standing in the gap while we were away. And I've heard over and over what a great message, and I appreciate that. You know, I don't know if you could preach a bad message on prayer. And I'm not preaching on prayer this morning. I'm kind of wishing I was now. But you can be turning to Isaiah chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter number 28. Somebody once said, and I believe it, our greatest failures are prayer failures. Yes, amen. Amen. Our greatest failures are prayer failures. I remember when I was a boy growing up at White Oak Springs Baptist Church, before we had a big meeting, a revival meeting, we would have they'd call it a Woods prayer meeting. A bunch of men would get together, and we had a place over on the side of the hill, and they had taken a chainsaw and cut a tree off about this high, like a pulpit, and that's what it was. It was a stump. They made it into a pulpit, and somebody would preach, and them old men of God, I can remember just as a child watching those old men of God crawl around in them leaves and beg God to move and to beg God for His power to be manifested in the meeting and on the evangelist. And boy, we saw God move in great ways. You know why? Because we had great times of prayer. Amen. And now we're just too busy. Amen. I forgot which old preacher it was that may have been praying Hyde. They said he got up so early every morning to pray. And one fella told him, said, I have too much to do in my day to spend that much time in prayer. He said, I have so much to do, I'm afraid not to. In other words, he said, I must have that time in prayer. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 28. I've been stuck in Isaiah for a little bit these last few weeks. If you ever take the time and you really want a blessing, just read through the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, and he foretold the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we see some of the most beautiful pictures of what is to come, which is now our past. Amen. Christ came some 2,000 years ago, shed His innocent blood, died for me and you, was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The next thing on His calendar is to come back and take that which He has purchased, which is me, and if you're saved, you. Amen. But here Isaiah is looking forward and foretelling. Did you know that every prophecy that was foretold in the Old Testament, except for the rapture of the church and the millennial reign of Christ, that stuff has been fulfilled? Amen. Some of it we are seeing fulfilled today. I love the way the Bible, over the years, it has just proven itself over and over and over. Amen. It's been tried and it's been found true. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can count on God's Word. But I want to look this morning at a beautiful scripture of prophecy about the coming of the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 16. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Isaiah 28 and verse number 16. The Lord said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a what? Say it with me. A stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I want to read that again and then just go to the Lord in prayer. He said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Father, as we come to you again this morning, God, we thank you for a good day. And Lord, we thank you for our people, and Lord, the prayers that we've seen answered and heard about this morning. God, we give you glory for that today. And God, we pray, Father, as we've read this great scripture this morning about that precious cornerstone, about the foundation that you have laid in Zion. God, I pray that you would touch and anoint us to preach your word this morning. Help us to be a help and a blessing to someone today. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 All right, this morning I want to look at the Rock of Ages. There's an old song we used to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Have you ever said of someone, either a friend, maybe a parent, or a spouse, so-and-so is my rock? Have you ever said that? Have you ever made that statement? My wife is my rock. She is. I mean, she is my rock. What is that? What are we signifying when we say that someone is our rock? Well, I believe that rock would stand for dependability, wouldn't you? When you say so-and-so is my rock, you're saying I can depend on the... Can I just say to you this morning, I believe you can depend on Jesus. Yeah. Amen. I believe you can count on him. I don't just mean when the sun's a shining, but I mean when the dark clouds roll in. Hey, and the dark days come and the troubled time. I believe you can depend on the Son of God. Amen. He's our rock that we can depend on. I believe when we say that, we may imply firmness. Firmness. Can I say he's firm this morning? I don't mean firm as in hard, which he can be. But I mean unchangeable and unmovable. Amen. You take an old, pick a rock up out of your driveway or out of the yard and lay it on the dresser. Go back 20 years. You know what it's going to look like? It's going to look just like it did the day you picked it up out of the yard. Amen. Amen. I was preaching in a meeting. Where was I at? I was in Florida. It was this week, Monday night. A fella came up to me years ago. Brother Charles might remember this, and he may be the only one. I preached a message out of the book of Revelations on the white stone. You remember that? And I preached, what's so good about a white rock? And I'd preached that message. It's been, I don't know, 17 years ago, I guess. But I'd lay these rocks out while I preached, and people would come around during the altar call, and they'd pick up one of them rocks. A fella came to me on Monday night of that meeting. He reached in his pocket, and he held out a white rock in his hand. And I said, what is that? I said, does that mean something significant? He said, yeah, first time I ever heard you preach, I picked that rock up off the altar. And I thought, wow. But you know what? It's the same rock. It doesn't ever change. And I'm glad the Lord said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Hey, religion changes, people change, time changes, but God is firm in that he does not change. Amen. I can count on him to be what he was 20 years from now, the day I found him 25 years ago. Amen. Amen. He hadn't changed one bit. I've changed. I've got older. I've got some gray hair. I've got rotten teeth. I got all the stuff of people aging. Amen. But God has not changed. Hallelujah. Do you believe that he's the same God today as he was 6,000 years ago in Genesis chapter number 1 when he said, let there be, and bam, there was. Amen. When he spoke this world into existence, he's the same God today as he was then. Amen. I believe it speaks of dependability. I believe it speaks of firmness. And I believe it speaks of solidity or being solid. Amen. Amen. When I talk about my wife being my rock, she's solid. I mean, there's no wavering there. Amen. She's solid. And the Lord's not going to waver on you. Amen. He's not going to change your mind. He's not going to gossip about you on Facebook. Amen. He's not going to stab you in the back. He's not going to let you down when you least expect it. He's solid this morning. Amen. I'm glad that's the rock. And I believe that rock would also stand for strength.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I believe that rock would also stand for strength.
Amen.
When I say my wife is my rock, I'm saying she's strong.
Yeah.
Amen. When I think about strength, I think about my precious mother-in-law.
Amen.
She's here. There she is behind Brother Anthony. Been through more than any human being I know. And yet there she is. Give her half a chance and she'll shout and praise God.
Amen.
Amen. She's buried how many husbands? Three. I tell them, she's the only person I know that's been married four times, never been divorced. That's true. She's buried three husbands. She's buried two children and a grandson. Yes, she's strong. She's strong. Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, how much more can they take? Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at somebody? I think about Brother Shane, and I pray that, Lord, how much more can you put on him, God? And I remind God, Lord, you promised you wouldn't put more on us than we can stand. Amen? But I think about somebody being strong. I think about people like Shane Reese, and I think about people like Sister Joyce Haney, and I think about people who have been through a lot and stood the test of time. Can I say to you that this morning that in Christ Jesus we can find strength, immeasurable strength. Amen? I'm telling you, he's been through it all. I remember we watched that movie, and if you disagree with it, it's okay. I don't care. But we went and saw that what was it called, Brother Freddie? The Passion of Christ. And I remember as the actor there, they had him in the courtyard at Gabbatha and had him tied to the stone, and they beat him with the flagrant or the cat of nine tails. And they just kept on, and they just kept on, and they kept on. And you're thinking while you're watching the movie, how much more can he take? How much more can he take? Let me tell you something. He took it all. Amen. They did not take his life. Freely he gave his. I'm telling you, we serve one this morning who has the ultimate strength. Amen. Hey, bro, listen, they make movies about strong people. What's that one that's out now? I hadn't seen it, but I seen the advertisement. Iron Man. If there ever was a real Iron Man, it's Jesus Christ. Amen? They paint him up in the paintings to be some little wimpy, sandal-wearing, Gandhi-acting kind of dude. That ain't who Jesus Christ is this morning. You listening to me? He's not a flower-sniffing hippie. You listen? I'm talking about he's a man this morning. The Bible said he is the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I serve one who has strength this morning. Amen. He's not a weakling. Oh, he has that lovey-dovey side. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad we love him because he first loved us. But he's got that bad to the bone side too. Amen. You read about when he comes back. Amen. With his vesture dipped in blood. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp, two-edged sword. That don't sound like no flower-sniffing little sissy, does it? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I serve one who has strength, who has dependability, who has solidity, who has firmness. That is, I'm just going to brag on him a little while this morning. And if you don't like it, just stop up your ears. But I'm going to brag on him. Why? Because he has been so good to me. He is my rock. Amen. Look at this rock in Isaiah chapter number 28 just for a few minutes this morning. And he lays this verse out. I love scriptures that outline themselves. Yeah. Amen. I love scriptures that just lay you out a perfect outline right there in the verse. What did he say first of all about this rock? He said, I'll lay in Zion for a what? For a foundation, a stone. Wow, isn't it odd how the Lord just accidentally gets things in the right order? Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? God has an order. Do you understand that? He has an order for life. He has an order for the seasons. He has an order for the home. He has an order for everything. God is a God of order. Now watch how he starts this thing. He starts with a foundation. Amen. If you're going to build an outhouse, you've got to start with a foundation. Amen. It doesn't matter what you build. It's got to have a foundation. Now listen. Now nowadays, when we build a house, they dig what is called a footing. They dig a ditch all the way around the exact footprint of your house, and they fill that ditch full of concrete, and that's your foundation. But it wasn't always that way. How many of you are construction workers or especially plumbers? I know my stepdad and we've been under many old houses. Old houses weren't built on a footing like that. You know what they were built on? Pillars made out of rocks. Amen. Amen. I remember years ago, I lived in my great-grandmother and grandfather's house, and the plumbing went bad in it. Had old galvanized plumbing. I had to get up under it, and they used to build them low to the ground. Oh, my goodness, I guess for heat purposes. But I had to make a ditch with my claw hammer to crawl up under that house. But I got to crawling up under there, Brother Todd, and everywhere was these old rocks stacked up and holding that house up. No telling how old that house was, but that's what it was built on. It was built on some rocks. Amen? They would go out in the fields, and they would hand-pick and select the right rocks for the foundation to build their home on. Amen. I'm glad God searched all through heaven. Amen. And found the right rock. Amen. That we might build our lives on. And Christ is that foundation. Amen. Let me give you some references right quick from the scriptures
talking about Christ being that foundation or that cornerstone. In Matthew chapter number 21, I tell you what, why don't we just turn over there together. Matthew chapter number 21. Let's talk about this foundation for a few minutes. We may not even get past that. I didn't mean to say Matthew 21. I meant to say Matthew chapter number 7. So if you're already in 21, back up. Matthew chapter number 7, and look with me at verse number 24. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 24. Before we read these scriptures, let me ask you something this morning. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? Young couples will come to the marriage altar and they think they are building their relationship together on their love for each other. Let me ask you a question. Where did you get that love? The Bible says God is love.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. If you're building your relationships on how you feel for each other, that isn't going to last very long.
Yeah.
Amen. That lust is going to go away. That desire may go away.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're building our lives on something that is firm.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're building our lives on something that is dependable.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we're building our lives on something that is solid. Amen?
Right.
Now, I want you to watch the difference in how people build in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. The Lord said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." What kind of man?
Wise.
A wise man which built his house upon a what?
Rock.
A rock. And the Bible said the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house that it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. This thing implies a couple of things. Number one, he emphasizes the rock on which that house was built. Amen. Over and over in the Bible, we find Christ as the foundation or the chief cornerstone or the rock. Amen. He is our foundation. That is where salvation begins, on Jesus Christ. Are we okay? Now, I want you to notice what he implies. Even though this man was wise and he built his house on a what?
Rock.
Y'all need to wake up this morning. He built his house on a what?
Rock.
He built his house on a rock. Great. But the storm still came. He said the winds beat vehemently into it. I mean, brother, it caught everything it could catch. Amen. The preacher down in Pensacola this week drove me around and he was showing me some real estate. Not that I'm interested. He said if somebody gave you a house down there on the beach, he said you'd have to be wealthy just to afford the insurance and the property taxes. But he was showing me how several years ago a hurricane came through. Now, was it Ivan, I believe, is what he called it? Hurricane Ivan, I think. And he was showing me all these vacant lots. He said, "Preacher, there used to be houses here." He said, "I'll show you the only ones that lasted." And they were these houses built on these big telephone poles way up off the ground, and the waves went up under them. But what he was talking about was how every now and then, he said, the reason it costs so much to insure a home down here, he said, it's not if a flood comes. It's when and how bad. He said, this thing's going to follow a cycle, and every 4, 5 to 6 years, something bad's going to happen. Amen. So you might as well mark it down. Hey, what I'm saying this morning, according to the scripture, something bad is going to happen in your life. Come on, talk to me. Would you agree to that? I mean, something bad. Job said, man born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. And we are. How many of you have trouble? Raise your hand. And the rest of you's lying. Amen. Every one of us have trouble. These people kill me, get on television and preach about how if you'll send them $5, you ain't going to have no more problem. What a liar. He must be having problems or he wouldn't need your $5. I mean, come on, use your head. Send me $5, I'll send you a holy handkerchief, snot rag, amen. Spooky, it's got a booger in it, amen. I'll send you one for $2, amen. Prayer cloth, whatever, that bunch is crazy, man. Don't let nobody tell you that trouble's not going to come in your life. Somebody say, "Oh, if you'll just trust Jesus, you'll never have no more problems." No. You're going to have trouble, you're going to have trial,
amen.
Now look at this next guy. He had trouble and trials too. But there was a very big difference. Amen. He said in everyone, verse number 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a," what kind of man?
Foolish.
"A foolish man." Now, I'm not calling you foolish this morning. It's the Lord, which built his house upon the what?
Sand.
"And the rain descended and the floods came." Same rain, same flood.
Yeah.
"Same wind and beat upon that house." Watch this. "And it" what?
"Fell."
"And it fell, and great was the fall of it." What was the difference? I don't think the difference was in their construction method. I think the only difference given in the scripture was what it was constructed upon. Amen. One built his house on the rock. One built his house on something dependable. One built his house on something solid. One built his house on something sure. And one built his house on something shifting and something soft. Amen. What are you building your life on this morning? Are you building it on the sand? Huh? Is your marriage divorce proof? Don't nobody want to answer that one. No, it's not. You better make sure you're on the rock. Amen. You better make sure that your marriage is founded on the rock. I think every husband in this room ought to just whisper in his wife's ear right now, "Honey, are you sure you're saved?"
Amen.
Do it, chicken. Ask her. We'll take a break. Find out.
Yeah,
are we okay?
Yeah.
I think every wife ought to just whisper in her husband's ear right now and say, "Honey, are you sure you're saved?" I mean, check them out. Amen. Bubba, you and Stacy's without, y'all just ask each other, amen? Couldn't help that. I need to make sure they saved too, amen? That's my boys right there. Are y'all listening to me this morning? You ought to make sure that that home is on the right foundation. I mean, man, how sad would it be to go through life with your wife as your partner and your best friend and get to heaven and her not be there? Amen. I see more turmoil in marriages where one spouse is saved and the other is not. It would blow your mind if you've seen the times that I've counseled with people who have just had trouble. I mean, brother, they've been through the counseling, they've done it all. Come to find out, she wasn't saved to begin with. They're trying to build on the sand. And every time the rains come, and they're going to come. Every time the winds blow, and they're going to blow. Every time the trials come, and they're going to come. The sand just washes what they thought was firm and what they thought was solid. Oh, our love for one another is enough. No, not when the winds blow and not when the storms come. Hey, you need Jesus Christ this morning. You need to build that life on something that's solid. Why? Because you are not. Amen. You're not solid. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
Do you always feel saved if you are? Well, be honest now. Do you? I mean, you've got a fever of 104. You're hugging the toilet. You've been puking for 24 hours. I doubt you're sitting there going, "Hallelujah, thank God I'm saved." But no, sir, brother, you don't feel saved. You've got to go back to something that's solid to reassure yourself that you are. Are we okay this morning? What are you building your life on?
Amen.
What are you building the rearing of your children on?
Yeah, come on, bro.
Who's raising your child?
Amen.
The Word of God or Oprah?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Lord, forgive me, but Oprah's a retard.
Yeah.
Amen. She needs to be in special classes somewhere. When you get so bright that you can just invent your own God, you got problems. Amen. That's what she did, friend. If Dr. Phil's raising your family, amen. Listen now, I'll give the man some credit. He gives some good advice. But it's not foolproof. It's not without error. God never gives bad advice. Dr. Phil said, if you're lonely, go to eHarmony and find you a mate online. I don't know if that's good advice or not. I don't much think so, amen. I think best place to find somebody be in church, amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I think that'd be the best place. Somebody said, well, these boys just come around here looking for a girl. Good place to find one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We all right?
Yes,
what you building that life on? Are you building that marriage relationship on what thus saith the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, it's full of it. It'll help you. Get you a Bible with a concordance. That's about all you need. Let me recommend, let's see, a Schofield, Thompson Chain, any of these got good references in the back. Just look up marriage. It'll help you. Look up children. It'll help you.
Amen.
Somebody give me one scripture verse on time out.
Amen.
They ain't one. Amen. I can find you several on tan that hide. Amen. Amen. They'll put you in jail for that today. I told y'all the other week, my mama believed in time out. She'd knock me in the floor and count to three. One, two, three, you're out. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible has the answer.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
We can count. Somebody said, why do y'all talk about it? King James Bible, King James Bible. Because it ain't never changed.
Yeah.
We can still depend on it.
Yes.
Y'all all right this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says His words are pure words, tried in a furnace seven times. Amen. Thank God. I have the right foundation.
Amen.
Now listen to me, and I'm stuck. I've got four more points tonight. I ain't even going to mess with them. I was going to look at all them other rocks right there, but listen.
Amen.
Listen. I have a good church.
Amen.
Happy Valley Baptist Church. Oh, we ain't perfect. You know how I know? Because we got people.
Yeah.
I ain't got to get past that front row right there to show you fault and problem.
Amen.
Amen. Christine's going like this, pointing at William and CJ. Amen. Well, they know that. We're all human. Is that right?
Yeah.
But I have a good church. It believes the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It believes this King James Bible still right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It has the right doctrine.
Yeah.
We have Christ as our Savior.
Yeah.
We believe in the blood atonement. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in heaven. We believe in hell. I have a good church. But listen now, and I'm a member of it. I think if you find a good church, you ought to join it and be a part of it.
Yeah.
But listen to me. I have a good church, but it's not my foundation.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you listening? Too many people have their church as their foundation.
Amen.
I've asked people before, why do you go to that church? Well, it's just where I've been all my life.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What if you was raised in a Mormon church? Or a Jehovah's Witness? That's a stupid answer. I go to church there because that's just where I've always gone. That ain't no reason to go there.
Right.
Amen. That foundation could be flawed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. I have a good church, but it's not my foundation.
Yeah.
You ask people. You go door to door and witness to people like we do. And you know what people will tell you? You say, are you saved? They'll go, oh, I'm a member of such and such. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
I'm a member of Happy Valley Baptist Church. That don't mean you're on the right foundation.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. We ain't into recapping around here. But we are into making sure that you know that you're on the rock. Amen.
Yes,
that you're on the right foundation. We have put hundreds of people through that baptistry right there. After I got saved, I was baptized at White Oak Springs Baptist Church. We got pictures of it. But that's not my foundation.
Amen.
When I was 6 years old, on a double dog dare from Roger Bush, Aunt Bunny's son, Ed Ballou was preaching revival, and Roger dared me to go to the altar, and I said no. He said, I double dog dare you, so I had to. Vanessa English, right up there in the balcony, her daddy got on one side of me. Kenneth Corin, the chairman of the board of deacons, got on the other side of me. My mama fell in behind me and squalling like a baby, and them deacons told me what to pray, and I prayed it. They gave me a Bible with my name wrote in the front of it, told the date when I got saved. Bad foundation.
Yeah.
All I did was do some lip service.
Yeah.
Had no idea in my heart what I was doing. I joined the church and was baptized and was on my way to hell. Do you understand that? But at 19 years old, I'm glad that I realized, hey, are you listening? I'm glad that I realized that the ground I was standing on was shaky at best. I realized that what I was standing on was sinking out from under me. I realized that I had no foundation, and I'm glad that night that I got to Jesus. I didn't worry about a false profession. I didn't worry about church membership. I didn't worry what somebody may say. Hallelujah, I just got born again.
Amen.
Amen. What are you building your life on this morning? Is your foundation a stone or is it sand? I would make sure. Amen. Hey, I've been saved going 26 years, I think, on January 1st. Listen, it still doesn't bother me to check myself out. Till this day, I hear a preacher preach on hell. I make sure, Lord, help me, Lord, give me some assurance, you know. Amen. Check yourself out. I do like Miss Stacy. Where's she at? Up there in the balcony. There she is. They was singing, "I Know My Name Is There" one Sunday night. Her little boy said, "Why ain't you raising your hand?" She said, "I don't know. I don't know my name is there." And she got that thing settled. Hallelujah. Is that Stacy or Legina? It was you. Might have been both of them. They're both raising their hand. Hallelujah. What a song. Maybe we need to sing it again. Amen. They got that thing settled in their heart. I've seen people come to the altar over and over and over again who I believe with all my heart was already saved. But regardless, they got it settled. We don't believe you can get saved over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. One time, we'll get her done. You may have to come back and reassure yourself from time to time because you can get so far away from God you don't feel saved. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Make sure you're on the right foundation this morning. You know why? Because the winds are going to come.
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to blow.
Amen.
The rains are going to come. The floods are going to come. Old Brother Tom Williams, the cowboy preacher, he said this. I'll never forget it. He said, "A rain will test your roof." He said, "But the floods will test your foundation."
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When the winds cease and the rain stop, will you still be standing?
Yes, sir.
Will your marriage still be intact? Will your home still be in order?
Amen.
When all the planning at the funeral home is done, will you still be standing? We've been through those storms, some of us together. When you get that news from the doctor, like your daughter has a tumor and it's cancer, will you still be standing?
Amen.
Not if you're building your life on something shaky.
Amen.
Something as shaky as human relationship.
Yes, amen.
I'm wishy-washy at best. How about you? My mood changes from one day to the next. Let's make sure we're on the right foundation.
Amen.
He said he was a foundation, a stone. He said he was a tried stone. I'm just going to run through these and give them to you right quick. That'd be all right. We'll be out here by 12:30. He said he was a tried stone. What's that mean, tried? It means it's been proven. Matthew chapter number 4, after Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter number 3, you remember that? John the Baptist baptized him. The Spirit of God descended. There you can see the Trinity right there. If you ever want to see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, go to Matthew chapter number 3. They're all right there.
Amen.
Isn't it 3? Yeah, last part of chapter number 3. John baptized Jesus, and as soon as he did, the Bible said in chapter 4, and straightway he was led up into the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
And was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. You know what the Bible said? He was tempted in all points, such as we are.
Yes.
What are you saying? I'm saying he's been tried.
Amen.
Let me say it again. He's been tried and he's been proven over and over and over. I've never met a soul, Brother Charles, that say, "I regret the day I trusted Christ as my Savior."
Hallelujah.
Amen. The devil tried every way in the world to trip him up. You know what Jesus kept doing? Kept quoting him Scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Listen, Oprah's new religion, it ain't been tried. Y'all all right? All these false religions, they ain't been tried. Where's the proof? If they've been tried, where's the proof? If Buddhism's been tried and tested and found true, where's Buddha? Just reason with me. If the Muslims have got it right, where's Muhammad? They're dead. You can go dig up their bones. Are y'all listening to it? We okay this morning? They're dead. They were tested and failed miserably. You know why? Because they were men. But I'm glad that God came and came in the flesh, hallelujah, and into man Christ Jesus. He was as much God as he was man. The man part of him died, sure did. But the God part of him rose again. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Amen. Thank God he lives. He lives. I am on the right foundation. And it is a foundation that has been tested. Then he said it was precious. He said it was a foundation stone. It was a tested stone. He said it was a precious stone.
Amen.
That carries two meanings. Number one, it carries a meaning of great value. Amen. We talk about precious metals, gold and silver, right?
Yeah.
That's our precious metal. Or maybe titanium's included. I don't know. Anyway, gold and silver for sure.
Yeah.
We talk about precious stones. What's the first thing pops in your mind?
Diamonds.
Is that right? Diamonds, emeralds, rubies, you know, goes on down the line. Precious.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're costly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not only that, why are they so costly? Because the rarity of them.
Yeah. Amen.
They're not just in great abundance. It's not like, what is it we have around here? What do you call our rocks? Granite? Granite. Man, what if granite was high dollar? Son, I'd be wearing my shovel out. Amen. Everything we got around here is granite. Is that right? Gravel?
Amen.
But you know what? It's pretty much worthless. A piece of crush and run gravel about that big around? What's that worth, Stacy? Maybe a nickel? What if you had a diamond that size? Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
You know why? You know why? Because you don't find diamonds that big just laying around every day.
Right, right.
Amen. Jesus is precious because he's rare. There's only one.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is precious to me this morning, and he's precious to you because there ain't but one of them.
Yes,
amen. And we don't need no more. The Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Why? He was enough. Amen. He was enough.
Amen.
When John baptized him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He's enough.
That's right.
Enough for how much sin? The sin of the world.
That's right.
That means my sin and your sin. Amen.
Amen.
Precious means it was of great value. But not only that, great affection makes it precious. I may possess some things that are I have in a little cedar box at my house, I guess it's a jewelry box about that big. I have some things that belong to my grandfather Fuller, Roy Fuller, Granny Faye's daddy. He was my hero. I have his Timex watch in that little box. It doesn't work. If you took it to the pawn shop, they probably wouldn't give you nothing. I mean zero. Not even interested. But I wouldn't take $1 million for it. Why? Because of the affection connected to it. Amen? Are you listening? Jesus is precious because of the affection that he's shown toward me. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm telling you, he is a precious stone this morning. He said then he was a cornerstone. He was a cornerstone. A cornerstone does two things. Number one, it ties two walls together. Is that right, Brother Freddie? A cornerstone tie. It's a connecting stone. Woo! Are you listening to me this morning? That's exactly what Christ is. He's our cornerstone. He tied me to God. Amen. He is the link in between us. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing? And not only that, that cornerstone, it's not just the thing that connects the two. The only thing that can connect you with God this morning is His Son, Jesus Christ. But that cornerstone was the pattern by which everything else is built on top of it. Amen. He is the pattern to build our lives on. Are you listening?
Yes.
He's a sure and a solid foundation. He's been tested. And he's passed with flying colors every time. He's precious. He's the cornerstone. And lastly, he said he was a sure foundation. A sure foundation. Sure means something that will not fail. I wish it was camp meeting right now and Brother Tony Shirley was here. I'd have him sing that song this morning, Jesus Never Fails. Jesus never fails. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come. They'll get ready to sing this morning. But while they're coming, could we just bow our heads this morning? Simple message this morning, but probably the greatest subject in all the world. And that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll find Him all throughout the Bible. I love the little song we sang as children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Could you just answer me honest this morning? Could you be honest with yourself? Be honest with God.